The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Money and Me, the show where we put investor education first and try to answer as many of your questions as possible. So this morning on Money and Me, we're going to talk about debt, corporate and sovereign debt, the kind that can make you money. Joining me to take this topic on is Andrew Wong. He is the Vice President of Credit Research and Strategy at OCBC Bank. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm fine, Michelle. How are you?
Doing very well. Happy to speak with you. So on this program, Andrew, we tend to talk more about stocks than bonds, but I know you spent your career focusing on fixed income investments and credit ratings. Can you give our listeners a quick primer on what to look for? What's different when investing in bonds versus stocks?
Okay, well, I would say there's not a huge amount different, although we are talking about different instruments. But I think in terms of a primer or some, I guess, base 101 understandings, is we like to think about the three Fs. The first F is the foundation, right, which is basically the credit profile of the issuer that you're looking at, whether it be equity or bonds, whether the business risk of the company is strong, whether the financial position of the company is also solid, and what that basically translates to the underlying credit fundamentals. So that is basically the foundation. Number two is the form. So particularly when it comes to bonds, not all bonds are created equal. So some bonds are more senior in terms of the capital structure. Some are more junior. You have perpetuals. You have senior bonds, which have a defined maturity date. And the reason for the different structures is because it introduces an element of risk, which increases the return. So investors need to be aware of the actual form or the structure of the bond that they're investing in. And then the final F is basically fundamentals. And what we mean by that is probably one of the oldest tenets when it comes to investing, whether it be bonds or equities, is that there is no risk without return. Well, meaning that the higher risk, the higher the return. So if you are looking at an investment or you're looking at two different investments, if the rate of return required is higher, then obviously it means the underlying risk is higher. So you need to do your homework.
Well, thank you. I'm sure people are going to rewind this podcast and listen to those three Fs again. Very useful mnemonic there. I want to pick your brain, Andrew, now on credit markets. Let's start with U.S. Treasury bonds, where yields on the 10-year Treasury yields rose in June. They've eased off a bit to around 0.7%. What do these movements tell you about investor confidence, particularly at a time when the number of COVID-19 cases in the U.S. is rising?
Okay, well, I mean, I think one thing that we have been constantly saying is that there is this divergence between this fundamental picture or the story of the COVID-19 infection rates, of credit fundamentals. We have more stories of bankruptcies coming out and potential retrenchments. But at the same time, we see that the market is moving, you know, in a different direction, sort of almost moving up in a way. What does this mean? It means that there is underlying optimism there in the markets, although perhaps rather than optimism, it's probably more accurate to say that there's actually just a lot of cash, or there's a lot of pools of investors that are willing to put money to work. But at the end of the day, that confidence, in our view, is still quite shaky. And you can see that whilst U.S. Treasuries, they did rise quite sharply earlier in June, they came down almost as quickly. And since then, they've sort of been operating in a sort of a range-bound, you know, I guess, range where they're just moving up and down, trying to find where the direction is. So to us, that really means that despite this underlying optimism or cash sitting on the sidelines, that investor confidence is still quite shaky. why is that the case? Mm-hmm. You know, we think three reasons why. One is obviously there is still a lot of uncertainty that remains on the virus. Number two, the potential outcomes from whatever happens with the virus in the second half is somewhat binary, at least from a credit market perspective. Mm-hmm. If tomorrow there is a vaccine found, there'll be a huge rally. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, if there is, you know, a significant rise in infections, a mutation, for instance, or even maybe another virus pops up, then that's obviously going to be very negative for credit and for markets in general. Mm-hmm. And then the third reason why confidence is still shaky is the systemic risk in general is elevated. You know, you have higher debt at corporates, higher debt at sovereigns. Mm-hmm. And as a result of all of these factors, market volatility will be higher. Shifts in sentiment, I think, will be a lot more impactful, you know, because of we are all highly strung. And we're likely to see, I think, a lot more dispersion or difference in the performance going forward between your investment grade or higher quality issuers and then your higher yielding or your weaker ones.
Okay, so we talked a lot, Andrew, about yield curves over the past year. That's the difference between the yield on short-term and long-term debt. At times, the curve has inverted, with long-term debt paying less favorable rates than short-term bonds. Now, currently, the yield curve is relatively flat. What do you make of this? What is that telling us?
Well, it's effectively saying that investors are really not being compensated for the longer duration or for taking the risk of investing into longer dated bonds per se. It also means that there is still that uncertainty in terms of what the future outlook will be. So in our credit outlook, which we published on 3rd of July, I think one of our key calls, from a technical angle at least, is basically to stay within that shorter duration because of the uncertainty and the fact that you are not necessarily being compensated for being further out. So, you know, this is a call that we've given for the readers of our reports is to really focus on the shorter dated bonds.
He's Andrew Wong, the Vice President of Credit Research and Strategy at OCBC Bank, joining us this morning, investors. Now, the safe haven allure of the US dollar, Andrew, has been taking a beating as of late. So the greenback posted its biggest weekly loss last week in a month. But some investors are wondering aloud where else to put their money. Do you think that Asian debt poses an opportunity?
I think it does. You know, I think currency is one factor, obviously. And then again, going back to the three Fs, the fundamentals as well are also important. The other thing to consider, I guess, is the relative interest rate. So you may have seen that, say, in Indonesia, even though the infection rates are rising, there is significant pressure on the fiscal position of Indonesia, that there has been, well, I wouldn't say a reluctance, but it seems like, you know, they have kept interest rates at a certain level for perhaps a time longer than what the market expected because they wanted to keep that yield differential to make it attractive for investors to invest in Indonesia. So, you know, I think relative interest rates are one consideration, but again, considering what's happening on a fundamental level on Indonesia and perhaps the level of actual investments that are available, you would need to take a fundamental call. Mm-hmm. From the Sing dollar perspective, we know the Sing dollar is still, you know, relatively stable currency. It's a fairly stable operating environment. So we think that Sing dollar is definitely going to be still an attractive place for investors because of that stability. It's also obviously going to be a strong place for Sing dollar investors to invest relative to the U.S. And then on, I guess, the final point is that for those investors that may be a little bit more aggressive, that want to not look at U.S., is I believe that in Thailand there are mechanisms in place to sort of construct high yield bond funds for, you know, accredited investors or high net worth individuals to invest in high yield bonds to support the market there. So there are attractive opportunities, but I think there are quite a few other things to consider other than, you know, just where the currency is going.
Are you concerned at all about the corporate debt levels here in Asia, particularly since profits have taken a big hit this year?
Yes. So we published our 2020 credit outlook in early January, and I think it was already known then, not just by us, but by the general market, that systemic leverage was already high at the end of 2019. And as a result of COVID-19, this systemic leverage has accelerated in terms of the levels, and that's generated a lot of systemic risk. So it is definitely a concern, particularly for those companies that are dependent on external financing, and those are typically your high-yield companies. And as a result, we are going to see, we feel, a lot more dispersion happening going forward. Even the investment-grade companies have seen a destruction in their revenue line, which has been replaced by debt funding in order to continue paying expenses. So the balance sheets have weakened. Though those companies still have quite solid access to the bank markets. So as a result, we feel that, you know, they are in a better position to ride out this storm. But the higher yielding companies are the ones that are struggling, because their ability to access this external financing through banks or through the bond market is effectively very constrained right now. So these are the ones that are going to run into liquidity problems.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, so I guess in summary, I would say that there is definitely a general concern regarding the overall rise in systemic leverage. But at the end of the day, the dispersion means that we feel that the better quality credits are the ones that will definitely survive.
As we head into the second half of the year, Andrew, how would you describe your investment strategy? In one of your recent reports, the word defensive popped at me.
Defensive, yes, that's right. So, you know, what are the, you know, I think there are four key concerns that we think about credit markets going forward. Number one, that I think we've touched on a few times, is that the credit fundamentals are weaker because of obviously what's happening with COVID-19 and the higher debt. Number two is, again, systemic leverage has risen, and so has systemic risk. Mm-hmm. Number three, it looks like the development and distribution of a vaccine is going to take some time. Mm-hmm. And finally, the concern or the thing to think about is how long can central banks and governments sustain their current support to mm-hmm. basically bridge the divide between the first and the third point that I mentioned, which is the weaker fundamentals and when a vaccine can be found and an economic recovery begins. So from that perspective, and because we feel that dispersion is going to happen, that credit dispersion, we do believe that being defensive remains key, which means looking at the higher quality credits. The only issue with that, I guess, is mm-hmm. that because of this flight to safety, the return from those credits may not necessarily be that good, although we are in a low interest rate environment. Mm-hmm. If investors want to choose to go down that credit curve to not necessarily high yield, but the lower rungs of investment grade, you really do need to make sure that these companies have strong business positions and they have strong access to external capital. And that's going to be very important because the revenue picture going forward is still quite murky.
He's Andrew Wong, Vice President of Credit Research and Strategy at OCBC Bank, speaking with us all investors this morning. Andrew, what would you say are some of the biggest risks for investors when it comes to corporate debt right now?
Biggest risks are purely fundamental. It comes down to their capacity and their willingness to repay. And even if the willingness is very strong, the capacity is the one that needs to be looked at. And at the moment, we can expect that the ability for issuers to internally generate enough funds to repay is definitely very constrained right now, number one. So number two, it comes down to what is their ability to raise external financing. You know, do they have access to assets on the balance sheet that they can monetize for a decent price? Do they have access to their existing lenders that will continue to lend to them? And I guess number three is, do they have strong shareholders that are also willing to support them during this crisis? So we really are, you know, sort of in a bit of a eye of the storm, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to deal with this environment where operating conditions are very weak. How we get out of that or when is still somewhat uncertain. So it's looking at the ability of these issuers to really survive this storm, either to try and adapt their businesses right now or to find the necessary funds to support their businesses as they seek to adapt and understand what the environment will be going forward.
In OCBC's mid-year Singapore Credit Outlook, you also look at Singapore REITs. I received many queries on this topic from listeners of this program. So do you currently see good value in the REIT sector? And if so, where?
Okay, from a fundamental perspective, we had a nice table where we sort of tried to do relative rankings of where the risk lies for the REITs. Excuse me. So industrial and office REITs, well, I guess the first point is all REITs are being impacted right now, but on a relative basis, industrial REITs are less impacted, followed by the office REITs, although there is this trend to working from home that's more of a medium-term trend. Retail REITs definitely sort of the next rung when it comes to being impacted in a negative way. And then finally, you've got your hospitality REITs down the bottom, which are obviously struggling right now without travel. Debt maturity profile for the strong REITs are also well managed, and you know, financing costs have come down. A lot of the REITs also have you know, fairly strong balance sheets in terms of unencumbered assets that they can use to continue financing their businesses during this period. So again, back to that last question that we talked about, they do have sort of access to assets. In terms of opportunities, so we actually published our credit monthly last week, I think on July 6th. So there we actually have, you know, sort of quite a few bonds that we see as being decent value. We have some bonds from CMT, FHT, some of the Mapletree issuers as well that we have put on overweight. So, you know, I encourage your listeners to either get in touch with us or to look at our credit monthly, which sort of has a few of the bonds that that we feel are better value right now.
Well, thank you for pointing us to those great resources, and we appreciate your time. Great speaking with you. Andrew Wong is Vice President of Credit Research and Strategy at OCBC Bank, joining me this morning in Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.